J-Monchi, AAA Radio, and I'm joined in studio with Magneto Mel.
You're listening to 1210 AM or 100.7 FM.
On the web at www.airventure.org. And we are joined in studio by Colonel Gunther Neumann, who is the commander of the Combat Readiness Training Center for the Air National Guard here in Wisconsin. Good morning, Gunther.
Well, good morning indeed. It certainly is a pleasure being here once again in sunny Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
It is. It's a beautiful,
nice weather this week so far.
Yeah.
Not too hot, not too muggy. Just perfect, eh?
Tell us a little bit about what your organization is doing here at AirVenture.
Yes, well, Volk Field, being a combat readiness training center, focuses on preparing our airmen and soldiers, for that matter, to respond to contingencies, whether, you know, OCONUS, as we say, outside of the continental United States or within the continental United States. And as such, we tend to focus a bit on training our air crews, whether they be F-16 pilots, C-130 folks, KC-135 air refueling folks, on how best to employ their weapon systems. And we work in close concert with the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, to provide some very realistic venues for that training. In particular, and pardon me if I get a little bit technical here, but...
No, it's okay, it's Oshkosh.
Technical people.
But we do have special use airspace, military operations areas, restricted airspace, where we focus our training on. And as you might imagine, some of the high-performance jets do require that we segregate that activity from your Cessna or Piper or, you know, other non-military aviator that might be having to go through that same piece of airspace. So really our message here at Oshkosh is a ways and means to inform both the flying and non-flying public on when we are actively flying in that airspace and when we are not, and how to inform the folks of when that is, how to best do that. Obviously, nobody wants to fly around a piece of airspace if the military is not in it, especially in today's fuel prices, and time is a factor. You want to be able to get your job done as efficiently as we need to get ours done.
I know when even just flying Part 91 as a general aviation pilot, you always check to see if those MOAs are active, when you go through this.
Right.
Most of the time they're not. I understand even when they are, you know, of course you can still, at your own risk. Probably wouldn't recommend that, would you?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, a piece of a MOA, you know, military operations right. area, can be used in a variety of ways, from as little as one single airplane practicing maybe some advanced handling techniques, characteristics, to multiple airplanes practicing intercept procedures. And they would then transition a large chunk of airspace rather rapidly. As you can imagine, an F-16 flies pretty fast and can climb rather rapidly and descend rather rapidly. But the point being, when we have this airspace that a lot of pilots are familiar with from a chart, you see the two-dimensional lines drawn on that, but there's really four dimensions to that. You know, the third dimension being altitude, and not all lines on a chart indicate airspace from surface to infinity, but there's, you know, certain altitude blocks, and then time being the fourth dimension, that we only activate the airspace for fairly short periods of time during the day, just when we actually have airplanes in them.
So if you are flying and you just absolutely have to go through the MOA, whether it's active or not, to do what you want to do, do you have any recommendations for pilots on how
Certainly.
To be diligent in that airspace?
Certainly. I would suggest that, and we're talking now primarily pilots that are flying through airspace in and around Wisconsin. You know, we haven't really adopted this kind of process that we have here locally across the country yet, but we're hoping that it'll take off and that other folks will do similar. But what we do is, if you stop by the Federal Pavilion, we have a display in there, the Wisconsin National Guard Volk Field display, and we'll hand out a little brochure on our procedures. There's a 1-800 number that folks can call in ahead of time as they're planning their trip to see what exactly is scheduled to be active in terms of military operations airspace. And then that will help them decide if they should plan on going around or through. Like you mentioned, even as a VFR pilot, you can fly through a military operations area when it's hot. But once you know exactly what's, you know, at least what's planned to occur in there, you may decide, well, you know, 20 F-16s there may be a little bit much for me to contend with, so I'll opt to go around. But again, if it's one airplane or two airplanes doing a, you know, very canned scenario, maybe you can scoot through there at 6,500 feet, very much unimpeded. So you call that 1-800 number first to find out what's going to happen. And then as you're transiting along there on your flight path, on your flight plan, then there's a frequency that you can dial in. Mm. And for us, it's a 120.0. It's a recording, very, very similar to an ATIS, an Air Terminal Information System, and it brings you the status of each piece of airspace real time.
Wow, that's you know, that's so fantastic.
For folks that don't like talking on radios, it's especially nice tool because they just dial up and listen, and they don't have to ask or talk to anyone.
And you say that that's only here in Wisconsin?
There's another place up in Alaska, actually, that has a similar setup. But, you know, we in the military, we manage this airspace. We require our folks to check in and check out with us before they enter and leave the airspace. So we do have a very good real-time handle on when each piece of airspace is hot.
Now, of course, your airspace is very busy right now with EA Air Venture going on.
And
do you curtail your military activities during this time?
Do. Absolutely, yes. We close down all the VOC scheduled military operations areas, air traffic control designed airspace. Of course, generally those are above 18,000 feet. But there is very limited activity going on. You know, to be completely truthful, we do have a restricted area over Hardwood Range. It's a small 8x9 nautical mile chunk of airspace, which is active now from the surface up to 5,000 feet. But we reserve that primarily for contingencies, emergencies, F-16 flying here to Oshkosh maybe has to jettison a drop tank or something. Great place to do that up there, you know, away from the general public.
I suppose you're pretty busy selling fuel right now, too, huh?
Yeah. Would be, yeah.
A lot of military airplanes visiting Oshkosh.
Well, in particular this year, of course, we are recognizing the 60th anniversary of the birth of the United States Air Force, and more colloquially, I guess, the Air National Guard also.
We've got a lot of birthdays of organizations going on here.
Yeah, really.
That's
do.
Right.
We just
That's
said
right.
the NTSB has got their 40th now. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
I think the Bonanzas are 75.
75 for Beechcraft, right.
Beechcraft,
yeah. Yeah, a lot of things going on, but of course, that does bring in kind of the variety and gamut of what the Air Force operates, and you'll see everything from trainers to fighters to transports to some of the newest hardware that's out there.
So tell us a little bit about your presence at the pavilion.
We have a couple of folks there that are displaying a, or that are discussing a display of a radar feed that we have live into the pavilion, which shows the activity, the aircraft activity in and around Oshkosh, and actually we can blow that up to pretty much the whole state of Wisconsin. But pretty much any airplane that has a transponder and that is squawking, a code will show up on that display. And, of course, we use it on more of a situational awareness and safety measure to alert our pilots when there is some other traffic coming into our airspace. But I think it's a great tool to show folks the technology that we have nowadays that allow us to keep track of what's going on in and around the airspace. Another part of our display deals with some of the instrumentation that we use and how we can further add realism to our tactical training. So when F-16s are performing air combat tactics in the airspace, we can monitor every single move, and we get data from each of those airplanes as to how high they're flying, how fast they're flying, how many Gs the pilot is experiencing at that point. And then we simulate weapons employment. Obviously, we don't really want to launch missiles at one another in training, but through this computer system, we're able to evaluate how effective a weapons pass might be and how effective defensive maneuvering might be.
And have those simulations been effective in informing your training procedures?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, it's when you can see what's going on, you know, we always say a picture's worth a thousand words, and certainly when you get the big screen up there and you know exactly what's going on, and you can then, with a range training officer who is monitoring the whole engagement, he can actually tell a pilot who's just been, you know, killed, quote-unquote, to exit the fight, to add further realism to the continuing engagement. Obviously, if one guy is gone, you know, he is no longer a factor to contend with, you can focus on the rest of the players in that particular engagement.
So do you share your space over there with other Air National Guard agencies, or is it just yourself?
The Federal Pavilion, I think this year we're up to about 18 different agencies, and you know, we're one of them, the Air National Guard. We have three other players besides myself present today. One of these you know, technical training experts is out there, as well as air traffic control person and airfield management person. So you know, we have quite a few folks there that are day-to-daily involved in the operation and running of this training center.
Gunther, thank you very much.
Thank you.